The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hysteria is brought to you by The Tamsin Show. What if midlife wasn't the end of the story, but the start of your strongest chapter?
On The Tamsin Show, Emmy-winning journalist and New York Times bestselling author Tamsin Fadahl has the conversations too many women were never invited into. She's joined by powerhouse guests like Halle Berry and Stacey London, along with leading experts on dating in midlife, navigating divorce, and building real confidence for what comes next. This isn't small talk. It's real talk, smart, unfiltered, and deeply relatable.
Whether you're facing brain fog, hot flashes, or a total life reset, The Tamsin Show is your guide to clarity, strength, and connection as you move forward. New episodes drop every Wednesday wherever you get your podcasts, because you shouldn't have to go through this in the dark, and you'll never have to ask, why didn't anyone tell me? Listen to The Tamsin Show. Your strongest chapter starts here.
Tech bros have been telling us for however long that they'd make the world a better place.
Our mission is to make the world more open and connected.
That will transform people's lives, largely for the better.
And Donald Trump, with a narrower scope, in true nationalist and authoritarian form, has been out there saying,
I was saved by God to make America great again.
But all we got were layaway burritos, AI language models that lie confidently, and relatives radicalized from misinformation spread on Facebook. I'm Akilah Hughes, and on How Is This Better, we are calling BS on the promises we were sold. From politics to tech to culture, this is a show for anyone who's looked around and thought, wait, seriously? How is this better? New episodes on Fridays. Follow How Is This Better on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, well, my cat outlived Henry Kissinger and Dick Cheney.
Unbelievable on
who
all fronts.
Who else will she outlive? Who else will she? Who come else? On, bring them on. Bring them on. Who's left? I don't know. There's some old guys left. We'll let people use their imaginations. There's a part of me that's like, I think she's hanging around for like one more biggie. She's hanging around.
You know what?
Maybe
she is.
Maybe she is. Because it's like once a month, I will text you in a panic.
She outlived Carter.
She outlived Carter. Well, that was...
I mean, but I'm just saying, the olds.
Yes. Once a month, I'm sending you a text message that's like panicked and sad, where I'm like, I think it's time for her to die. And you're like,
yeah.
Giving me advice.
And then I death duel you.
And then the next day, she's like jumping over
bionic
again. And I'm like, all right. Well, she's sticking around for some reason, right? And it wasn't for Dick Cheney. It's
you know a
for
weird
else.
Funny thing?
What?
When my Oma was later in life, one of the ways that her doctors could tell is she was continuing to have mini strokes is that her English got better and better. Like, she had very bad English, but then suddenly her English was getting better and better. And they're like, we think Julie might have had another mini stroke.
You know
so anyway,
what?
Maybe that's Eleanor.
Maybe that explains why she just recently started speaking German.
There you go.
Today we talk about the hopeful evening that was election night.
She's a felt great.
Totally
slept
opposite,
like a baby.
Slept like a baby. Totally opposite of last election night. We also talk about the intense tackiness of the Trump administration in light of cuts to SNAP, domestic violence funding, and the closure of the government.
Yep.
And then we talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene's makeover tour. We talk a little bit about Nancy Mace going apeshit on somebody in an airport who she should not have gone apeshit on. And then we have our first installment of solicited advice. and finally some Sani Pedi. This is Hysteria, the podcast for people who are so unaccustomed to feeling hopeful that they've walked around for the last day with that, wait, did I forget my keys feeling?
100%.
100%. I'm like, what am I forgetting?
What?
I stopped outside my car this morning before I got in, and I'm like, do I have everything?
You do.
I was carrying half as much rage. That was why my purse felt light this morning.
Just feeling like, you know what? Weight of the world, not fully on our shoulders today. We could take a breather today.
Yeah, Democrats pretty much ran the table in Tuesday's off-year election.
Like landslidey.
Landslidey in a way that seems to have some people concerned. But people at Fox News, of course, are dismissing it by saying that this all happened in blue states, which actually isn't true. Because Fox News exists to tell losers that they're winning. That's
so
the whole
sad.
Purpose. And if you're a loser, you tune in and you're told every single day that you're a winner and you're winning. Like, that's the trick, right? Okay, but let's get into the wins. Prop 50 in California. God, good week to be a Californian.
Yeah, seriously.
Good week to be a the Dodgers. Prop 50.
That was a great series. I watched the whole thing. That was a great series. I enjoyed it immensely.
I'm not a the Dodgers are not my, team. I'm a Minnesota Twins fan from birth.
Of course.
And I will never see them win another World Series in my lifetime, unfortunately. But, you know, the Dodgers are my adopted team.
That's how I feel about the Phillies.
Yeah.
My husband loves the Phillies. I enjoy the Phillies. But the Dodgers and the Blue Jays was a great run.
It was great. The Dodgers losing won't ruin my day, right?
Right.
Like, I like to see them win, but when they lose, it doesn't, ruin my day. I just thought the Blue Jays were such a good team, and they played with such heart.
And they had good Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I love a bird on a uniform,
I love a bird on a uniform. And, we love Canada. We love Canadians. We're big fans of Canadians at this show. There was a part of me that was like, I would have been very happy for the Blue Jays if they had won.
Totally.
Even though I also like the fact that the Dodgers are such an important part of the LA community. And I think any of the MAGA people that were like, oh, America team, blah, 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 blah. It's like, do you have any idea what the Dodgers fan base looks like? Do you have any idea who they are? Like, have you ever been to a Dodgers game? Have you ever looked at who cheers for the Dodgers? Or have you walked around on the east side of LA and seen who is wearing a Dodgers hat outside of Silver Lake, which is just like people wearing brand new Dodgers hats in the dog park? It's like, it's a diverse group of people. There is a very strong Latin American, Mexican American fan base. It is not the fandom of the Dodgers does not reflect the fandom of the president. And so I think anybody that thinks this is some kind of yay, white America type thing is wrong. Anyway, Prop 50 passed.
Prop 50 passed,
which is the proposition for redistricting California, which could give Democrats up to 5 additional seats. So it won overwhelmingly by almost 30 points.
That's something.
Gavin Newsom was kind of muted in his response. He didn't have a rally or anything like that.
No. He just did a little stand-up press conference.
I think it was at the Democratic Party headquarters.
Yeah, it was very staid.
Very, very chill. I feel like he's really saving his touchdown dance for...
As he should.
Yeah, as he should. Because I don't think you want a touchdown dance while you're in the middle of the work that needs to be done, right?
He acknowledged the win.
New York City, Alyssa.
Mayor Zohran Mamdani wins New York City by 10 points, winning Young Men, who had been trending conservative, by wide margin. It was a blowout in New York last night.
Yeah, he won Young Men by 40 points.
Yeah.
40 points. So I don't know. I don't know that, the manosphere can really take a victory lap here because the Young Men that they say threw the election to Trump— now through the mayoralship to a Democratic socialist.
Mm-hmm.
The celebrations were nationwide.
Yeah.
For Mamdani. There was one here in L.A. I had some friends that were there. And I saw a video that one of my friends posted of people cheering when they found out that he'd won. His victory speech was really exciting.
His speech was really good. There's so much energy. There's a lot of goodwill. There's a lot of goodwill in New York and across the country. He is an inspiring young leader. And I wish him a lot of luck. New York, mm-hmm. New York's got some ish.
I have to say it does make me a little bit sad, not because I don't support him or that I wouldn't have voted for him had I lived in New York City, but making fun of New York City's repeated electing of extremely bad mayors was like a very fun way to make fun of people from New York City. And now gone, I can't do it right. I mean, I could, like, Eric Adams, you know, the stink of Eric Adams is going to stick around for a little while. But, like, they elected a really cool guy that, yeah. like, won in ways that Democrats have not been winning. That mm-hmm. is, like, perhaps representing, like, the future of the party, not in that every single person, every single place should try to draft a right, their own Mamdani. Right. But because he represented somebody that was running specifically for the place that he was representing. Like he was
exactly.
He was running for mayor of New York. He wasn't running for mayor of America. He's running for the people exactly. who are voting for him. I also found it very funny that Donald Trump endorsed Andrew Cuomo, one of his opponents, which I don't think was helpful.
I mean, it was just, it's like the enemy. He thinks that it's like the enemy of my enemy. But like Trump, nobody in New York cares what you think.
Nobody likes
nobody
him.
Cares.
I keep seeing these like social media posts, some of which are probably bot generated because like conservatives love to manipulate social media to make it look like it reflects a reality that doesn't exist until reality reflects it. But I've been seeing a lot of stuff that's like, I'm leaving New York. I'm so sad for New York. Bye, New York. And it's like people like ostensibly who live in New York and are leaving. But Alyssa, you spend a lot of time in the city.
Yeah, yeah. We live in New York and in upstate.
Yes.
And I don't really think that that's – I think that is something that is very bot-generated. That is – there are people who supported him, people who didn't support him. I think everybody – which is something we don't always find on the other side. I think everyone – who even wasn't supporting him yesterday is rooting for his success today because his success is New York's success. And mm-hmm. that is how it works.
Mm-hmm. That's a very Kathy Hochul line.
Thank you.
I have to say, Governor Hochul is, given how much we know about how much she dislikes Andrew Cuomo, Governor Hochul probably had a good night last night or good day yesterday.
I'm guessing she had a natty light. You know, I feel she like she might have had a beer.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever the most buffalo beer is to drink, I think that she probably had one of those. But going back to the thing of people being like, I'm leaving New York City, I lived there for like almost 7 years, right? And I cannot think of a place that cares less if people leave than New York City. Okay, bye. Bye.
No, here's the thing. No city anywhere cares if you leave.
Right. It's not, like, you're not, it's not a loss. A lot of people want to live in New York
City.
There's
a housing shortage.
There's probably a lineup of people outside of your apartment now just after you tweeted right. about that. Like, yeah, okay, go. People want right. in. You don't need to be here if you don't like it. Yeah. And also, I found it really funny that, like, Texas Governor Greg Abbott was like, y'all, we're going to put a tariff on y'all. You try to come down here. It's like nobody wants to
no
fucking
No one's coming
come to
there
Texas.
Either.
In a tariff? What are you talking about?
Did you mean a toll?
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, way to make it about you, Governor Abbott. Also in New York, Columbia County, New York.
Oh, I was so excited about this. Columbia County, New York elected its new sheriff, Jackie Salvatore, raised up here, part of the community. She will be the only woman sheriff in all of New York State right now. Wow. And she is now the first Black woman to ever hold the position in New York State. She is a great lady with great policies, and we are very proud to have her. As our sheriff.
That's exciting. We also have Mary Sheffield, who at 26 was the youngest ever City of Detroit council member. Mm-hmm. She is now Detroit's first woman mayor. A yep. Black woman running the largest majority Black city in the nation. That's
love
super
to see
exciting.
It.
We love to see it. We got some governor's races, too.
Mikey Sherrill. Now, you know, and this, Aaron, goes to polling. So I was in the city for a couple – I was in New York City for a couple weeks. So I was getting all the ads for this and seeing all the polling. And it's like, I don't know. It's going to be a squeaker. It's going to be a squeaker. Chitterelli, he was coming up. Fuck that shit. She kicked his ass by 13 points.
She mopped the floor with him. She dog walked him.
Which is great because, again, New Jersey was another state in 2024 that saw a real sort of leaning towards Trump. A lot of their counties went a lot more Republican. Feels pretty blue to me today.
Yeah. People were like, they forgot about it, right? They had Jack Cittarelli also was like a real piece of work. He was just like he was just a complete like goon, I think.
He was like New Jersey Trumpy. But you know, Aaron, here's the funny thing about all these. Whether it was New York City, New Jersey, we're about to talk about Virginia, Trump never left the house. Trump didn't campaign in person for any of the Republican candidates.
I mean, you want me to shift into Candace Owens mode here?
Oh,
I
go ahead.
Because you know I've got theories about why he's not leaving as much. I think his health is preventing him from leaving. I think that he is doing all of the stuff that he does. I know, like, I'm sorry to be like, whatever. But, like, I think his health is something that is making travel more of a pain in the ass for him. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, before he traveled to the Middle East, after the quote-unquote ceasefire that didn't even really cease fire was finalized, he had to go to the doctor. Like, I think he has to go through a series of steps before he travels now, and he just doesn't want to do it. If he's not going to, like, get a crown or whatever.
And you know what I think, though, too? What? I think they didn't want him. I think Cittarelli didn't want him. I think the Republican in Virginia didn't want him. I think he's not popular right now, which hurts him even more.
He's not popular right now. But at the same time, I think Tuesday night showed us that the Republicans got nothing after he's gone.
Exactly. That's my point.
They've got nothing. Like, they don't have any surrogates that can go out and, like, rally people. And like, you know, I didn't like him at all, and I found him to be repugnant. But Charlie Kirk was the closest thing they had to someone who could actually draw a crowd and get people excited about mm-hmm. something. And I just – once Donald Trump isn't there, it's what do you have? Like, what's your plan? Because I don't
And he's not even – like, I think he can't even bring the people out as much anymore because, you know, if he thought he could get a crowd, he would have pumped himself with whatever he had to get down there.
Yeah.
But he can't, and he won't because he's not as popular anymore.
Mm-hmm. We've also got Abigail Spanberger making history as Virginia's first female governor, flipping the governorship blue.
Yep.
Ghazal Hashmi won her race for lieutenant governor. She's now the first Muslim woman elected to statewide office in U.S. history. So
making history.
That's exciting. Spanberger and Cheryl were roommates in D.C. as members of the House.
Isn't that, like, cute to think of them just plotting?
It's cute. And I also, like, I didn't know that until we were, like, researching the show. But I think it's funny that they both kind of have the same vibe to me. It's like, yeah, I could totally see them as roommates.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
it's like fighter pilot. And I mean, they're just like ladies who get it done.
Yeah. Ladies who get it
done. Like, I bet their house was really clean and the fridge was well labeled.
I bet the house was very clean. The fridge was well labeled. I think that they probably had like one small centerpiece, maybe a candle.
That's it. There was never hair in the drain in the shower.
Yeah. Yeah. And congratulations to both of those states because it's really exciting. I think that in New Jersey, like you said, it was supposed to be close. But Virginia was – there's a lot of federal workers there.
Yeah.
They have been fucked with quite a bit. And they're mm-hmm. sort of like over it. So we also have here's something that the Vote Save America people were, like, really excited about and pitched to us. But mm-hmm. we were like, we, like, didn't quite know how to integrate it into the show when we were talking about it. But here it is. We want to, like, give a shout out to Vote Save America and the work that they do because they were very involved mm-hmm. in these races. And it went our way. Georgia Public Service Commission. Democrats flipped two seats on the Georgia Public Service Commission, Peter Hubbard and Alicia Johnson. They both delivered an upset in Georgia's off-year special election. GPS regulates Georgia's major utilities, including Georgia Power, and its decisions directly impact residential energy bills.
Win-win.
And so, like, VSA was like, we're going to get involved. And they did it. And
there it is.
And they did it against the odds. In Pennsylvania, everyone was retained on the Supreme Court,
yep.
preserving a 5-2 Democratic majority on that body. And then Minnesota has Cowley Herr, a Hmong American woman who was elected the first female mayor of St. Paul. That's really
it's amazing.
Suni Lee, also a member of the Hmong American community in St. Paul. So making waves. That community is the women of the Hmong American community in St. Paul making waves, making history. Also, Mississippi, of all places. Remember at the beginning when I was saying people were like dismissing this as blue state wokeness, right, or whatever? Via the Mississippi Free Press. After 13 years, Mississippi Democrats have broken the Republican Party's supermajority in the Mississippi Senate. Voters elected Democrats to two seats previously held by Republicans, reducing the number of Republican senators in the upper chamber from 36 to 34. One fewer than necessary to constitute a supermajority. When a party has supermajority status in the Mississippi Senate, it can more easily override a governor's veto, propose constitutional amendments, and execute certain procedural actions. The Mississippi Democratic Party called the victory a historic rebuke of extremism.
That is incredible news.
Incredible news. That, again, is via the Mississippi Free Press. So, yeah, Mississippi's not a blue state.
Big.
Right? No.
No.
Seems like people are pretty pissed, Alyssa.
People have thoughts. People exercised. Also, historic turnout. Lots of turnout for a very off-year election.
Yeah. I wonder why the people are pissed. Why could that be?
Well, Aaron, seems like their hard-earned benefits are being withheld, and that Trump is bulldozing. Trump is just very focused in his, like, Lego restoration project. He's building one brick at a time over at his house. And so, like, I think the American people realize they're not in any way his priority.
Yeah. So let's get more into the sort of tacky juxtaposition of, like, what real Americans are experiencing and what the president is experiencing. SNAP benefits.
Well, Aaron, the government's still shut down.
Oh, okay.
In case you hadn't noticed, government's still shut down. And citing the government shutdown, the USDA halted SNAP benefits on November 1st. Two federal judges ruled that it was unlawful to halt the largest hunger assistance program in the country. The courts instructed the administration to use the $5 billion contingency fund that they previously refused to use. The fund is about $3 billion shy of what they need to bankroll a full month of the program, so partial payments will be calculated and funds will be received, possibly weeks late. Roughly about 42 million Americans receive food stamps, and in anticipation in the lapse of benefits, food banks have seen an increase in demand with bigger crowds and longer lines. Some grocery stores, delivery apps, and local businesses have tried to step in and offer discounts for those affected. The USDA, however, sent emails to these businesses warning them that they weren't allowed to provide discounts to people hurt by the cuts to the food stamp program under SNAP's equal treatment rule, which bars stores from either discriminating against people in the program or offering them favorable treatment. So, Aaron,
that's
this happened
so
near
disgusting.
Me. It's disgusting. So we have a market near me in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, called Guido's. Guido's, in anticipation of SNAP benefits being withheld, had been posting every day about how they were going to try to help people. And they had come up with a plan that if you just presented your SNAP card, you'd get an extra 10% off. And then they had to go on Instagram the next day and say that they got, like, a threatening letter from the USDA saying they absolutely could do no such thing.
Ugh. There's probably a way around that, right?
Well, like, they are working with lots of other community businesses to be like, can you bring meals? Like, lots of businesses in the area are like, okay, I have the location. Can you bring food to my place that I don't prepare, that I don't sell, but where people can pick it up and get a meal? And, you know, Manny's in Chicago, Illinois said, present us with your SNAP card and we will give you a meal for four to take home to your family. I mean, you know, Donald Trump wants us to believe the world's really fucking dark and broken. And then you see, people want to help.
See, that is such a good point. And I think that it's something that is, I mean, I hate to be like, here's a political lesson, but, like, it's not, it's just something to keep in mind as we're just being decent human beings.
Right.
Donald Trump and people in his movement only understand people that operate from the same demonic, dark, cruel, and mean places that they do. They do, their brains short circuit when people are acting out of altruism or just out of care and love for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, them coming into cities expecting people to, like, fight back and, like, you know, do some sort of violence against government officials that could serve as pretext for a military-style crackdown on all American citizens. But really what people are doing is caring for each other. And, like, every time it happens, they don't understand it. They don't understand, like, oh, my neighbor's having trouble. I'm going to help them. Like, the MAGA way to to respond to that is to laugh at them or to be like, go to church, or like, this is your fault or whatever. Like, this is what kindness and goodness can do in a country that is increasingly governed by people who are bad and mean and want to inflict pain on each other. Like, it's really, I mean, I hate that this is like an inspiring story, because it shouldn't be a story in the first place. The government, the government should provide for the basic needs of its citizens. Just if we're going to talk about it very crassly, strictly for like stability purposes. Like, if you want a stable society. Well,
and because they pay into them.
They pay into them. Exactly. And also it pays dividends. If we're, again, to be crass, like,
always,
for every dollar that we pay in SNAP benefits, it the dividends it pays is like by a factor of magnitude, by an order of magnitude, right?
Right. For every dollar that the government spends on SNAP, $1.80 goes back into that community.
Right. Exactly. And so it's like, to not do that is like just bad. It's bad math. But
it's
because
bad
it's,
math.
Yeah, but because it's nice, because it's
also
kind,
nasty.
It's nasty. It's like, I mean, I think we should start using demonic more when we talk about these people.
Sure, we can do that. We can incorporate that easily.
100% demonic behavior to like withhold food from children, or to be like, well, they should be working, or I don't want to see people on SNAP buying Oreos. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck what they're buying. I don't care. I don't care what they're buying. I don't care.
And you know what else is? When you're spending so much time dissecting what is in someone's fucking lunchbox, I learned this a long time ago, is that sometimes, Erin, kids just want to be kids. Mm-hmm. And it's why they tell you that when you are filling food pantries in your local communities, do try to bring things like a Duncan Hines cake with frosting so that they can have a birthday if their birthday is coming up. It's like when you other them so much, like, here's the food all the other kids have, and here's the food the government has decided
that
you are allowed to eat.
Right.
And you're going to look different than your friends at school. They're going to know what's up, and you're going to feel different. Why? What is the fucking point? All of the moms who have SNAP and who have WIC want their kids to be healthy, but also sometimes they just want them to be fucking normal kids. So, like, get off their backs if they have a goddamn Oreo.
Mm-hmm. Or they just want them to be happy. Like, what is wrong with your brain that you don't understand the psychology of a parent? If you have a kid yourself, they're not, like, someone without money feels no differently about their kid than you do. You know? You want to bring them something that makes them happy. You want to give them a treat every once in a while. You want to, like, see them smile. Like, why do they think that poor people are a different species than them? That they don't want the same thing for their families, that they don't hope the same thing for their children, and like, why do they think that children are different than their children? They're kids. They're fucking kids. On the note of like controlling what SNAP benefit, like people receiving SNAP benefits get, which is like such a gross, it's gross. I find that to be like a morally repugnant stance. But I will say this, I would compromise and say, okay, if we are going to put limits on what people on SNAP can spend their money on, which I think we already do to an extent.
There's
some limits. But why aren't we doing this for Congress people? I don't want my congressperson eating Oreos. That's my tax money paying them. That's it. They get a per diem. They get $79 per day. No, I'm being dead serious, Alyssa.
No, as a matter of fact, Erin, let me tell you, I do not think that members of Congress under your scenario should be allowed to buy prepared food.
They should
prepared
not be
prepared food is
alcohol?
Not allowed under SNAP.
No.
No rotisserie should, chickens for
no
them.
No rotisserie chicken. They should not be allowed to buy alcohol. I do not want my tax money funding my congressperson. I don't think my congressperson is doing this, but
no, I don't either. But the bad ones.
Right. The bad ones. I mean, the ones from Texas. Let's be real. The white ones from Texas are doing this. I don't want my congressperson getting drunk on the taxpayer's dime. Like, that's not, I'm against that. Like, I'm against that. So I think that any limits on what SNAP money should be spent on must also apply to every member of Congress who draws a congressional salary, and for that matter, every member of the executive branch who is also using taxpayer money to buy food. I don't think that they should be buying lobster. I'm sorry. Lentils.
I agree.
Lentils, Miller lentils. Family. Lentils are a very healthy option, and they're cheap. And, like, honestly, I don't think, do you really need to be eating that much? Could your kids get a job? Maybe they could be a better podcaster than their mom. Anyway, this is all on top of the harmful changes that Trump signed into law back in June, including Several legally present immigrant categories, including refugees, asylees, and human trafficking survivors, could lose access to SNAP. The age limit is increased. Able-bodied adults ages 18 to 64 must work at least 80 hours per month or be engaged in education or a training program or volunteering to remain eligible for SNAP benefits beyond 3 months in a three-year period. Previously, the upper age limit was 54. Veterans, people experiencing homelessness, and youth aging out of foster care are now subject to the three-month limit. That's going to go great. The exemption to the time limit for caregivers of children under 18 has been changed to children under 14, and states' share of administrative costs will rise to 75% from 50%. All right, we have more to say on this, but we have to take a quick break. When we come back, it's tacky time. It's tacky time in the
GOP.
We're
ready to be tacky.
Hysteria is brought to you by Honeylove. Alyssa, what do you personally love most about Honeylove bras this time of year? This time of year.
This time of year?
Specifically this time of year.
I love my Honeylove all year, but I guess specifically when we get to the time of year when you wake up in the morning and it's cold out, and then by lunch you have to shed all your layers, and then it's hot on your way home and then cold again at night, I like that my Honeylove does not overheat me.
Yeah. Okay. That is important.
It's important in this period of my life.
I think that along those lines, this is a time of year where it's really easy to feel uncomfortable, like temperature-wise. Like, it's too cold, it's too hot, it's too, you know, there's all these situations where, you know, I just ate a giant meal and now I'm like at a party with a bunch of coworkers, whatever. It's like,
you don't want things rolling down.
Yeah, you don't want things rolling down. You want to be as comfortable as possible during the times that you have control over your own comfort. Mm-hmm. That's why I like Honeylove bras. Most bras are uncomfortable and come off the minute you get home. Hey, who's been spying on me? But Honeylove is different. Their wireless bras are so soft, lightweight, and supportive, you'll actually forget you're wearing one. Whether you're traveling, running around in cozy layers, or dressing up for holiday parties, Honeylove bras give you effortless lift and support without stiff wires or bulky padding. It's designed to move with your body, not against it, so no more digging straps, underwire pokes, or constant adjusting. Just breathable support that feels like a second skin wherever the season takes you.
So go ahead, ditch the wires, ditch the discomfort, and step into confidence this season, because your bra should make you feel as good as your holiday looks do.
And Honeylove isn't just about bras. They've got shapewear tanks and leggings that are just as comfortable and supportive. Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is a must-have. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Plus, the best part is it won't ever roll up or down thanks to flexible boning hidden in the side seams.
That is so important to me. So treat yourself or someone special to the most comfortable and innovative bras on earth this holiday season. Save 20% off site-wide at honeylove.com/hysteria. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/hysteria. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Celebrate the season feeling confident and comfortable with Honeylove.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who are not fooled or soothed by Marjorie Taylor Greene's new inside voice.
I am entertained by it.
So Marjorie Taylor Greene was on The View this week on Tuesday.
It was something else.
It was something else because I didn't scream and turn it off in 5 minutes. I watched her entire appearance. If Marjorie Taylor Greene has no haters, then I have departed the mortal coil, you know? Like, I'm dead. I'm not a Marjorie Taylor Greene fan, and I never will be.
No.
Her appearance on The View was a very scarily effective appearance.
Here's the thing. Who is real Marjorie Taylor Greene? Is it the shrill, yelling, angry P90X Marjorie, or was it the somewhat demure, maybe beta blocked, maybe on benzos at the table with The View? Who was it? But it was, here's the thing. For the first time, don't agree with her, but I did listen to her because she spoke in a way that was, you know, appealing.
She spoke in a way that was like socially acceptable.
That's a better word. Yeah. It was not appealing. It was socially acceptable. It was a peaceful interaction.
Yes, it was a peaceful interaction. I think that, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is on what our friends at The Bulwark have described as a makeover tour, which I think that's a fair characterization of what she's doing right now. But what I found a little insidious about the whole thing is that she was using statements that were very like beauty queen statements that are like, mm-hmm. we all just want Americans to have like affordability, blah, 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 blah. But and then the people on The View were like agreeing with her, like, yes, of course we agree with you, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, yes, we think that like it's really important for this country to for politicians to address issues facing Americans. I think that we are the conversation around the Marjorie Taylor Greene appearance is missing some examination of what the words Marjorie means when she says them versus the words. What they mean when people on The View say them, when the hosts of The View say Americans.
Oh, yeah, sure. There's Americans. Some ships passing in the night. Yeah.
What do you mean by Americans, Marjorie? How do they look? How many crayons do you need to color them? You right. know what I mean? Like, yeah. And like, I think when The View, when the hosts of The View and when normal people hear that, they think what the people on The View thought, you know, what the right. what the panelists seem to think, which was that, yes, people who live in America. I think that that's something that kind of is the way that, like, insidious people with fascist inclinations, that's how they ingratiate themselves to the mainstream before you like them enough that when they come out with the, like, surprise, white nationalism, you're like, oh, but I like her, but now she's doing this thing that I don't like. So I've just, there's going to be a Jack in the Box moment where, like, that shit pops back out.
Yeah.
And
probably.
And I think that we shouldn't be surprised when it does. And what she's doing right now is just trying to get people to like her enough so that when it pops out, we like her too much to kick her out, you know?
Right. That's not ever going to be our problem.
No, it's not ever going to be our problem.
No, but like you did see when you watched The View, it's like Sunny Hostin, and I'm not saying anything about Sunny, but she was like leaning in and I was like, oh, Sunny, you in danger, girl. Like, careful, mm-hmm. careful. Yeah. Like she's not, it's interesting. It's interesting. It's not safe.
Yes, it's interesting. It's not safe. Alyssa, there was some tea, though, circulating about why Marjorie is suddenly speaking out against Republicans and why she is seeming so reasonable and more in line with mainstream
Seems
people.
Like Marge wanted to run in the primary for the upcoming Senate seat in Georgia, and she may have gotten smacked on the snout by the Trump folks telling her she couldn't.
Who's running for that?
Who is it?
I don't know. I haven't even heard
Hold
them.
On. I don't even know. But like, I think I don't even know that there is someone. I think they were just like, it's not you.
Yeah.
I think that's the online gossip. We're only reporting gossip.
We're only reporting gossip.
But and it makes sense.
But the gossip came from a person who we trusted, and that's AOC. AOC posted it, like,
yeah.
publicly.
Yeah.
And I think that she would probably know. And she also would,
maybe,
like—
Maybe Marge told her.
Maybe Marge told her. I don't know. Strange bedfellows. We've been seeing, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been on the right side of the Epstein file release stuff.
Since day one.
She's been on the right side of the government shutdown stuff. She's calling out Republicans by being like, hey, you guys, you never had a healthcare plan. You've been lying about this for, like, literally 10
years. I mean,
when
she was on The View and she's just like, why should I have to go to a SCIF, which is a secure compartmentalized room with for, like, very classified information, to see our healthcare plan?
Yeah.
I mean— I was like, Marge, using all the words?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're asking, Alyssa, you asked earlier, who is Marjorie Taylor Greene? And we did a deep dive on her for a This Fucking Guy episode
yeah.
a couple years ago, which, like, probably needs an update at this point. But something I learned when I was, like, researching her is that Marjorie Taylor Greene has always sort of been, like, an element that takes the shape of whatever space she belongs in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's always kind of, like— her history is like a little murky. She like went to college and she really didn't make like a big impression on a lot of people. She wasn't like some loudmouth in high school. And then like, you know, she found religion and she found P90X and she found
right.
politics and she found like ways to get attention that she never got. And now she's figuring out that if she can just read the room or like put up her finger and figure out which way the wind is blowing and stay aloft on said wind. Like, she's really good at figuring out how to fit in whatever space she's in. Like, when she was doing P90X religiously, she was, like, nationally ranked. Like, she was really good at whatever those, like, chin-ups are. Like, she was good at that. But, like, now she's really good at figuring out how to get attention and figuring out how to get people to like lean in and listen to her, even though she spent so much time like alienating people. So I think that that's what makes her dangerous, is I don't think that she is smart. I do think that she's a true believer, and I think that she might be kind of emotionally intelligent, and I use that in just like a clinical term, in a clinical way. I think that she can assess the situation, is like, what can I say that can get me what I want in this situation? And then she says it. And like, yeah. So anyway, she's out there. We're on to her. TBD if people will also not be fooled. But we'll see.
And we have to wait and see what her actual end game is.
We have to see
what that will be revealed at some point.
Right. And it's not that I think that people can't be forgiven, but I think I am like a Catholic, culturally speaking, and I believe in penance, right? Like if you do a sin, if you do something bad, you can certainly come back from it, but you got to do a bunch of stuff before you get the thing, before you get the reward of like the comeback. And sometimes the thing that you did is bad enough that you can never, ever totally make up for it. But like the more you work to make up for it, the less I think that you're like a demon. So like I think that she's somebody that I think what she wants is to come out the other side of all of the things that she's done and all the things that she said and all the things she stood up for and all the harassing she's done of like high school shooting survivors and expect to just be like, I'm okay now. I'm nice now. Like, da, da, da. And it's like, no, Marge. If you truly want to be taken seriously as a morally okay human being, you have to reckon with all of the things you did. You can't just – that shit's not going to slide. Okay. All right. So before the break, we were talking about people being mad and Trump holding hungry people hostage. The same night that SNAP benefits expired, Halloween night, Trump hosted a party called A Little Party Never Killed Nobody, which was a Great Gatsby and Bad Grammar-themed costume party at Mar-a-Lago. Classy, classy. So, Alyssa, are the rich asking to be eaten? Do they want us to eat them?
What on earth was this? Look, I understand that we've come a long way from, you know, when we were in the Obama administration and we'd be like, well, something bad has happened in the world and there's a hurricane. There's a hurricane on the other side of the country, and so we should cancel the fundraiser we have tonight 3,000 miles away. That's just how we were. That was just, you know, what is the downside to playing it safe? These guys, also, Trump, stop hosting theme parties and then not getting dressed up. That is the other thing that makes him like the lamest person on earth. It's like Great Gatsby and everyone's got their fake jewels and like all around their head and their flapper outfits on. And he's just sitting there like a bump on a log.
He didn't even end the party floating face down in a pool. You know, Great Gatsby. He didn't even get hit by a car or hit someone with a car. How can it be a Great Gatsby party if the host doesn't end up floating face down in a pool? Right?
No.
Right?
He's boring. And the party looked, it was opulent, but also looked lame.
Yes. It just looked like, did you ever play that game with your sister where you would look at a catalog and imagine having the most expensive thing in the catalog?
No.
Like, Claire did. Claire's nodding.
Okay.
Claire's nodding enthusiastically. But I used to, like, imagine – we would get, like, party catalogs because my mom was, like, a yearbook advisor at the local high school. And I would imagine having the most expensive prom. I would go through, like, the, ooh, what if we had this curtain, whatever. And I was, like, 8.
Right.
I feel like that's what they did at Mar-a-Lago. They just went through the like prom catalog and they were like, ooh, what if we had the velvet tablecloths? And it's like, who's going to clean that shit? Awful.
Awful.
Who wants to feel velvet on their hands when they're like putting
Not
their...
Not me.
It's just...
You want to know why velvet as a tablecloth just wouldn't feel clean?
No. It's like eating on carpet. Just
exactly.
Put your plate
that's
right
exactly
on carpet.
It. That's exactly what it made me think of.
Yeah. And they had like dancers dressed up like flappers and... Something
like and could have had more clothes on. I'm just saying.
I don't mind.
But I'm saying
oh, they're conservatives, right?
Well, they're conservatives, and they're all like Christian coalition-y. And also, it's just like the president of the United States is there. It just feels like I don't know. What do you believe in?
Yeah, right. It's very, if you've been watching South Park this season, it's very like South Park White House culture coded.
It's very funny.
Where it just, yeah, where there's like people in red, white, and blue bikinis and Kristi Noem's like face falling off and Pam Bondi with shit on her nose. Yeah, it just, it felt very, yeah, it was just tacky. It was just tacky. And you were so right about him not dressing to theme.
So boring. You know what else was equally boring? They did open up the White House this year to trick or treat.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a suit. He's in a suit.
It's because he doesn't look good in anything else.
There was, but like, and you know, Michelle and Barack, they used to have sneakers on. They were dressed casually like they would have when they were taking the girls trick-or-treating, which was the president's favorite holiday going back to the day I met him. And so, like, one, they were always excited because it was Halloween. And when they had Halloween, it was opened up to all the kids of Washington, D.C. because they felt it was their way to give back for, like, imposing annoying things on the district by living there. And then Trump, but there were costumes, Aaron. He couldn't figure out. And so there was one who was dressed as some sort of minion and he didn't know. So he put the candy bar just on its head. And then
this
Melania
is the second
was like,
time he's done this. He did this, I know. He did this during a previous Halloween during
yes.
Trump
and then
won.
The poor little guy just walked away real, real steady so as to not knock the candy off of his own head. It was so weird. I was like, I've never seen any people so uncomfortable being around human beings.
Being around children. I feel like they, like there's, I think Pete Souza posted Ben Rhodes' little
yes.
girl.
Yes.
And pictures of Obama playing with her when she was dressed in as a little elephant. And it's like
the elephant. It was like, it was those days. It was just great. They loved it. Or when President Obama, when Josh Earnest's son, who was maybe two or three, dressed as Spider-Man, and the president saw him in the hallway and he pretended to be shot and fell down.
Oh, like, he got webbed. It's called
He got webbed. Right. Sorry, he got webbed.
And I was like, I live with a Spider-Man fan, so I kind of know the lingo.
But it was like, what's the point?
I mean,
what's the point? Here's the thing about Donald Trump that we will always know. He had so much fucking power and he was miserable every fucking day.
He was miserable every single day. He was only happy when other people were upset, which means that like emotions never really, he can't generate his own emotions. Government is shut down right now, as you mentioned.
Still.
Yeah. And when the government's shut down, that means that funds meant to confront domestic violence mm-hmm. are not really in effect. It means those funds are in danger. And, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene also said during her appearance on The View something that I thought was, like, really good. She's not drawing a salary right now, she said.
Right, yes.
She said. So, I mean, somebody should probably check on that. But she doesn't tend to lie about stuff like that. You know, if it were like—
So here's the truth. Here is the nuance in what she said. Mm-hmm. She has asked them to withhold her salary. She will get it at the end.
She should donate that.
She
I mean,
could.
She's
she
already
could, but
rich. She's like not.
Totally.
She's not a regular person.
But
she was
just
rich before
legally,
she ran for Congress.
Legally, you cannot not take a payment from Congress because you can't donate your labor in kind, or it's considered an in kind contribution. But yes, she has asked her salary to be withheld.
Hmm. Well, I think that's right, and I think that if somebody is running for Congress next year and they want to get attention and make some waves, they should say they'll introduce a bill that all congressional. Like the salaries of Congress people, not staffers, will be clawed back if the government shuts down and I think like people, they're getting paid to do nothing. They're getting paid to like be in their home.
They are. And you know, they have had bills that were brought up before. They just didn't pass.
God, constitutional amendment time, man. I want to control what they eat. If they can control what SNAP beneficiaries eat, then I want to control what they eat. I don't want them eating steak and I don't want them eating lobster. And I don't think they should be paid to do nothing. They're going back to their home districts and they're raising money and they're dialing and they're like, I don't know, going on vacation. I hope Ted Cruz is stateside because if he is not here.
That means a national disaster is coming.
That means that there's a disaster coming. So I hope for America's sake that Ted Cruz is firmly at home and not in Mexico. But like they shouldn't be paid for this. They shouldn't be paid for this.
Well, because they're also, government shutdown is one thing. There's no active trying to solve the problem.
No. And honestly, like, I think that they're doing it. Again, I'm Candace Owensing out again.
Okay.
I really think that at the root of this is like the Epstein thing.
I do. They don't want to release the files. Adelita Grijalva still has not been seated.
No.
And what the fuck?
Yeah, they literally.
Which, by the way, you're just making us think it's pretty bad.
I mean, it must be. It must be pretty bad because, like, yeah.
It's, if Virginia Giuffre's book got Andrew kicked all the way the fuck out of the royal family.
Yeah.
Imagine what's in the Epstein files.
I mean, yes. If that wasn't, if what she said wasn't, didn't have a propensity of truth, right? If it wasn't more likely to be true than not, he would not be kicked out of the royal family. And you know, it's funny because after King Charles stripped former Prince Andrew's titles over his ties to Jeffrey Epstein, which, you know, things got pretty hot because of Giuffre's book, Trump was asked about it and he said, I feel very badly, which again, incorrect grammar. You feel badly? That's like you feel poorly. You're bad at feeling. I feel badly. You feel bad, but whatever. Then he went on, it's a terrible thing that's happened to the family. Oh, what happened to the family? One of the family members abused a child?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that happens to the family of the abuser is when the abuser abuses a child. Okay. He said, that's been a tragic situation. It's too bad. I feel badly for the family.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another tacky moment in a very tacky week for President Trump. Speaking of tacky, what's going on with the way that Erica Kirk hugged J.D. Vance? I'm sorry, this is not hard news, but I'm like so
It's not hard, vexed. But we all saw it. We were all forced to see it.
We all had to look at it.
Erin.
What do you think?
Here's
going
the
on?
Thing.
Okay.
So I like dissected it because I'm like, everyone calm down. Because I literally went for a walk, left my phone at home, came home, and there was like 9 million Instagram posts about Erica Kirk and J.D. Vance. And I was like, okay. So when people were saying that he was like too close, that his hands, when he was caressing her, that his hands were too close to the tush, I mean, in freeze frame, it was not great. But if you actually watch the whole thing happen, it's not as bad.
Are you coming to the defense of the vice president?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay,
because
good.
The thing that makes no sense to me is the caress of his head.
Yes. That's an Erica problem. But
yeah.
Like, have you ever hugged a male friend like that? Have you
Never.
Ever put your hand in his hair?
Never.
Never.
Let's be clear. The founders of Crooked Media, I have known for over 20 years through good times and bad, wins and losses. We have never touched in a way like that ever. Like ever. Not on birthdays, not at marriages. Never.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never.
It's a weird way to hug your friend, especially a friend who is married, a man who is married. I found it to be like disrespectful to his wife. I mean, like, not to put the blame on Erica because
it's very intimate. The way she held his head felt intimate.
Yeah, it's so this happened at an event at the University of Mississippi where Vance was the headliner, filling Charlie's old role on the debate stage. Pictures from the event went viral after Vance hugged Erica Kirk, putting his hands on her hips. She put her hand in his hair. But the reason that I think it really kicked it up a notch, it could have just been like, okay, that was a weird hug shared by two deeply weird people. So this was at the same event where Vance made these bizarre comments about his wife's faith.
Yes.
His wife, Usha Vance, is a Hindu, and she didn't convert to Christianity. They actually had a Hindu wedding ceremony.
Wedding, yeah.
Yeah. He said that he hopes that she converts to Catholicism from Hinduism. And, the way he said it, where he, like, couched it with so much, where he's like, but it's fine that she's not a Christian. But I'd love it if she were a Christian. But it's fine if she's not a Christian. But wouldn't it be great if she were a Christian?
And
but
I'm really hoping she becomes a Christian.
Yeah, he couched it with, like, all of this, like, slimy language that gave him plausible deniability. But, like, the nut there was what he was trying to get out of that was to try to placate the part of Kirk's audience and conservatives as a whole that are uncomfortable with the fact that he's married to a brown woman who is a Hindu. Like, they're uncomfortable. So what he's trying to do is be like, hey, look, I wish she wasn't. I wish she wasn't. But it's okay. But it's have your conversion and eat it too, JD. You can't have your Eucharist and eat it too.
The other thing that gave it oxygen
was that since the day of Charlie Kirk's murder, JD has been, in my personal opinion, flying a little too close to the sun. Mm-hmm. Like, he, within days, if not the next day, was hosting his podcast
yes.
from the White House, you know, talking about the movement, the speech that he gave at the funeral. I mean, there is something that feel putting Eric anything about Erica Kirk totally to the side. There is something that feels a bit single white male about
yes.
how JD is currently moving through the world. And if we're going to be super crass, looking at the election results last night, like, Trump's not going to – if Trump were to anoint JD Vance the king of MAGA, it's not going to do shit for him.
No.
Becoming the next Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, I think I agree with you in points that you're making, but not at all the points.
Okay.
I think that Charlie Kirk had a – again, I never was a fan of him. I found right. him to be gross. But I think Charlie Kirk had a draw and a charisma that J.D. Vance just does not have.
100% agree.
And I think that what they're trying to do by, like, slotting him in is, like, the same thing that, like, an influencer might do when they're trying to, like, have a million – or, like, a wannabe influencer.
Oh, absolutely.
They would just buy a popular account that's just been – that's been engagement farming.
Right.
And just, like, slip their username in and suddenly they've got – ready-made 300,000 followers from something that used to be cat memes or whatever. And then they changed the name of cat memes and then suddenly they're an influencer. I feel like they're trying to do that with J.D. Vance. And the problem with that is that J.D. Vance is a fundamentally unappealing little twerp. And Charlie
he's
Kirk.
He's got no riz.
He's got no riz. And Charlie Kirk, I wouldn't say had riz, but at least he was...
He
had more than
he had real charisma.
He
had charisma, and it's this thing, right, that we've been talking about since the last election. It's like mm-hmm. when everybody's like, well, who's going to be the Joe Rogan of the left? And it's like, no, you miss the point. Joe mm-hmm. Rogan is Joe Rogan because he is Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
The same applies to Charlie
Kirk. We're going
to
have to start hitting a guy on the head a lot if we want to have a Joe Rogan of the left.
Right.
Do we have a guy that's willing to get hit on the head a lot and then talk into a microphone?
But Charlie Kirk was unto himself special, not in what he said, but in the way he was able to communicate with people.
Mm-hmm.
And
how much money he had behind him.
And that too.
Yeah.
And he built it himself. And so, but you just see J.D. Vance like eyeing that mantle.
Right. The game is that they're trying to be like, they're trying to do like what they did between Back to the Future and Back to the Future 2, which is where they just switched Jennifer and we're supposed to not notice.
Right.
Like that's not the same Jennifer. That's not Charlie. I know who that is. That's not Charlie. And like, you know, it's an interesting switcheroo attempt. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like it sort of is like, what if that conspiracy theory about Avril Lavigne being switched was real? Like, what if we just had a different Avril? Like, I feel like that's what they're trying to do, but like for real life and with like
and
far right
in front
podcasts.
Of our eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, J.D. Vance he's too old. He's 10 years older than Charlie Kirk, I think. Yeah. He's like 41. 10 years older. So he's like, it's got a very how do you do fellow kids vibe to it. And like, it just, I don't know if it's going to work, but I don't know. People have impressed me with their stupidity before. And so maybe Charlie Kirk's audience really is that stupid.
But for a day or two, the internet was wild.
Let's talk a little bit about Nancy Mace. Speaking of wild.
This nut. Oh, congresswoman, gubernatorial candidate, and fucking guy, Nancy Mace, allegedly cussed out police officers at the Charleston International Airport last week.
Cool.
She called them, public servants, mind you, fucking incompetent after her security escort at the airport was derailed by her own late arrival. Erin, I have worked for several members of Congress, United States senators. If you need the escort, you are told a million times over, you best be on time.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
They've got other shit to do. They're not just sitting there all day waiting for you.
They're protecting things. She also harassed TSA agents who just so happened to be working without receiving paychecks right now.
Cool. So they were in a great mood and they love getting yelled at just normally when they're getting paid. But getting yelled at for free, that's got a special
top 10.
In the days that follow, she doubled down on her behavior, as she often does, tweeting a rant that called for the airport's CEO to resign and posting 18 minutes of airport security footage set to dramatic instrumental music, which didn't seem to prove a thing.
Nancy Mace is, I say this, just because Nancy Mace is unwell. Like, everybody who is unwell isn't an asshole. Nancy Mace is an asshole who is unwell. Like, she is cuckoo bananas, and I can't believe that she's actually in the conversation to be governor of South Carolina. Then again, you know, like we've said on the show, South Carolina is haunted. And so, of course, maybe they deserve to have a haunted governor. I don't
know. Maybe.
But yeah, she really went apeshit, and we'll see who's going to come out on top here. I think she's still currently being sued for defamation because of some pretty wild statements she made on the floor
of the Senate, or the House.
The House of Representatives earlier this year. But if you want more information on Nancy Mace and just the rainbow of her insanity, you should check out our episode of This Fucking Guy on her. I think I was driven to the brink of insanity when I was writing it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, solicited advice. Hysteria is brought to you by Fatty 15. Alyssa, what are your thoughts, feelings, and concerns about aging?
Erin, they're plentiful. Okay, my skin is dry, my bones ache, I'm kind of itchy, I guess that's from the dry skin, and I'm getting wrinkles. So how's that? Is that a good summary?
Yeah, you know what's happening to me is I used to be someone that could sleep through a freight train. I used to be someone that I could fall asleep anywhere. If it was time for me to go to bed, I could just lay down and I would fall asleep and it would be mad and I would sleep through the whole night. And now I'm like a damn baby. I wake up, if I get woken up at 3 a.m, I'm not going back to sleep until 6. Like, there's just no way. I'll lay there with my eyes closed and be like, why won't sleep happen? Or I'll feel myself falling asleep and I'll wake myself up. It is awful. I hate it. It means a lot to me to know that I'm not doing everything I can to right the ship here. There are certain steps that I can take to help improve my sleep that is sort of falling apart as I age. I'm so excited to share with you guys C15 from Fatty 15, the first emerging essential fatty acid to be discovered in more than 90 years. It's an incredible scientific breakthrough to support our long-term health and wellness, and you guessed it, healthy aging. Fatty 15 co-founder Dr. Stephanie Van Watson discovered the benefits of C15 while working with the U.S. Navy to continually improve the health and welfare of aging dolphins. Ever seen a wrinkly dolphin, Alyssa?
Never. Smooth as can be.
Smooth as can be. Based on over 100 studies, we now know that C15 strengthens our cells and is a key healthy aging nutrient, which helps slow biological aging at the cellular level.
In fact, when our cells don't have enough C15, they become fragile and age faster. And when our cells age, our bodies age too. This eventually led to studies finding the first new nutritional deficiency in 75 years called cellular fragility syndrome, caused by a lack of the C15. As many as 1 in 3 people worldwide may have low C15 levels and cellular fragility syndrome. So Fatty 15 is a science-backed, award-winning, patented, 100% pure C15 supplement. It's vegan friendly, free of flavors, allergens, or preservatives. Fatty 15 has 3 times more cellular benefits than omega-3 or fish oil. And by replenishing our cells with the crucial C15 nutrient, Fatty 15 effectively repairs cells, reverses aging at the cellular level, and restores our long-term health and wellness. Best of all, Fatty 15 comes in a gorgeous reusable glass and bamboo jar, and refills are shipped right to your door. Fatty 15 is on a mission to optimize your C15 levels to help support your long-term health and wellness, especially as you age. You can get an additional 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/hysteria and using code hysteria at checkout.
And welcome back. You are listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who did some password maintenance when they found out that the password for the Louvre security camera system was
Louvre. Louvre. Not even Louvre exclamation point.
Nope, just plain, all lowercase. From the French newspaper Libération.
Libération.
Libération. Libération. From the French newspaper Enchanté, an audit carried out in 2014 by France's National Cybersecurity Agency showed that indeed the Louvre's video surveillance system password was Louvre. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's all lowercase, actually, or if there was it was spelled with the same case, like.
Either way,
bad infosec.
When they put that in, you know they got the prompt that was like, your password is not secure enough. And they were like, skip. Like, keep anyway. Like,
no. What's the thing that French people do? Like that? Oh, yeah, they did that. And then they just ignored it because they were like, liberté.
Yeah, liberté.
All right, welcome to our first installment of the year of solicited advice. This is, we asked you to ask us some questions, and we're going to do our best to answer them in a way that is entertaining.
The best that we can. Yeah.
It's the holidays.
Lighten up.
End of the year can be a little bit of a, like, minefield of etiquette. And so, you know, we're gonna talk about it. Okay, question one. Hi, Hysteria Ladies, Sideways Heart. I love listening to your pod every week. It keeps me sane. Oh, thank you. You guys keep us sane, too. I would love any advice or insight to the following question. Federal funding cuts have significantly impacted my industry, and although I've been fortunate to keep my job, I've been forced to assume the responsibilities of a higher-level position without any increase in compensation. Meanwhile, I have colleagues who are getting raises. I don't really have the option to switch jobs due to location and circumstances, and I need the paycheck. How do I avoid becoming bitter and unmotivated at work and in life in general when everything is so shitty right now?
I feel like this is a quiet quitting. I feel like this is like do the absolute minimum.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Don't you think you do? Because here's the thing. The issue with this listener's, the real thing about her problem that gets me upset is that there are colleagues who are getting raises. So she's been asked to do more work for no additional money, which is not how it should work. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I feel like this is a very subtle, very demure, quiet quitting where you do what you have to do. You're not making yourself available outside of hours.
Yes.
Like you are, you're not, you're going to 9-to-5 it, and then you're going to find a nice hobby or something you can do that detoxes your brain from this. After hours.
That's good advice. And it's way more hostile than I thought your advice would be. Not toward the question asker. Well, because usually you're like, well, you should sit down and have a talk with your boss. Like,
no.
You're always the like pro-social one. And I'm always like, put a stink bomb in the bathroom. You know, like I'm always the one doing things that could get you in trouble.
Well, you've rubbed off on me.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry that happened. I would like to add, I totally agree with the quiet quitting thing. And if somebody harangues you about not being available after hours, you could just say, I'm not available after 7 p.m. Or like, I'm not available to respond to any emails or, you know, because you don't even need to justify it. Just be like, yeah, I work here during the workday and I'm not available outside of off the hours that I'm in the office, which I think is totally fair. I also want to put in a plug for finding a place to volunteer if you have the time.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a job that I absolutely hated. I was working at Merrill Lynch, like during the collapse of the real estate market, which was crazy, but I needed the job, like needed it. I needed health insurance. I needed my job. And so I couldn't quit. There were no more jobs to be had.
The funniest thing about us is that we both worked at Merrill Lynch.
I know. It's hilarious. I mean, ships in the night, are you know?
Passing.
But I think the thing that made me not lose my shit when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life was I started volunteering at this no-kill animal shelter in Chicago called Paws. And Paws has like a very robust volunteer program. You get like trained, and I was like, I would walk the dogs and socialize with the dogs at the adoption center and like help people meet the dogs and stuff. And I ended up getting like extra training so I could work with the more difficult dogs. And I loved it. I loved it so much. I got to know so much about dogs. I got to know like every single type of like Franken mix of dogs you could possibly get. And it was so fun. And I got to, you know, be around animals and see people meet the pets that they would have for the next decade plus. And it was just like really exciting. I still think about my time there. I still occasionally donate money to Paws. I just think it's like a great organization. And a lot of cities have places like that where you can volunteer. So I would recommend doing something like that. That's my plug.
And I have one little add-on too, is that I think there's an outcome to potentially the quiet quitting. If you are someone who has always been a team player, always showed up, always takes on more, clearly you are taking on more because you're taking on higher level responsibilities without compensation. If you start the low-key quiet quitting, someone eventually, I believe, will be like, is everything okay? And it gives you the opportunity to say, I have been in this position. I've been asked to take on more responsibilities. I see colleagues getting raises. So this is what works for me. And who knows? Maybe it'll open up a proper conversation about what you should actually be paid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, in the meantime, figure out what's next.
Like, yes.
Figure out what you're going to do next. Like, you don't have a time crunch now because you're still getting a paycheck. But, like, have some, like, nice walks with yourself listening to some calm music and be like, what do I want to do next? And once you have that in mind, take the steps you need to take to be ready to make the move. It might take a while, but, like, get there. Okay, do you want to read question two?
Let's see, Erin, our next question. Last week, you guys mentioned how you worked up to being able to do over 20 push-ups. How do I conquer the push-up? It's been a resolution of mine for so many years, but I just can't even seem to get there. Please teach me your ways.
Oh, I've got this.
Okay.
So you don't start with the push-up. Like, start doing it with the knees and do push-ups that way. If that's too hard for you, you can even do planking on your knees. Mm-hmm. So you just hold your arms straight, hold your body straight, hold your abs in, put your knees down, and, like, hold yourself up and count to 20, then take a five-second break, and then do it again. If you can do push-ups on the knees, alternate push-ups on the knees. Try to do, like, five, and then do a plank see if you can do a minute. And then do five more push-ups on your knees, and then try to do another plank. And then try to extend that till you're doing, like, 20, 2 minutes, 20, 2 minutes. And by then, you definitely should be able to do, like, a regular push-up. And once you can do one, that's fine.
That's it. It's the gateway.
It'll grow quickly. Because I went from being able to do one, from being able to do, like, 30.
Me too.
In like, not very much time. So, like,
and it is the most, It's like the most satisfying exercise because it's like a full body exercise. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like I started on my knees doing push-ups on my knees. And I think that, like, I built myself up to five sets of 10 doing that regularly before I even tried a regular push-up because I just wanted to be – I wanted to give it the chance. I didn't want to be disillusioned. Like, disappointed if I tried it and I didn't. So I did that and I did the planking, just as you said. And that is exactly what got me to my my push-ups, which I love doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since I've done a push-up, but I do plank still. Something that I would also say is if you're a yoga person or you don't want to try to do, like, planking and knee stuff or you want to, like, make it a whole class, vinyasa is, like, a really good way to build, like, shoulder and upper back strength. I really used to love vinyasa. And also it's, like, kind of athletic. And so you feel like you get to move around and you're stretching, but it doesn't feel like you're you're on the verge of hurting yourself, which is a thing that used to scare me about doing push-ups. I was like, oh, what if I fall? You know, like,
right.
I can't do it. But vinyasa is a really good way to build strength so that it's easier to be able to do, like, a full push-up.
But that was a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. So we're going to do two questions every week. That is all the time we have for this week's solicited advice. For a chance to be featured in this segment, submit a question in the Friend of the Pod Discord, crooked.com/friends, or shoot us an email at hysteria@crooked.com with advice in the subject line. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sani Petty. Hysteria is brought to you by Green Chef. Fall is my favorite season. It's a season when I can finally put away my summer clothes, which I, every single year at summer, I'm like, I don't like these clothes. I don't like it.
I get sick of them real fast.
I do too.
I like being covered up. We know
fall
this about
is
me.
My jam. I'm a jacket person. I'm a coat person. I love to be able to put on, like, an outer layer. I just, I love fall. I also love fall because, like, when it starts getting darker earlier, there's something so cozy about settling into the kitchen and doing, like, a project.
A stew.
Yeah.
A roast.
A beautiful, delicious, healthy meal. Unfortunately, I don't like grocery shopping after it's dark outside. Mm-hmm, something about it feels indecent. That's why I love Green Chef. Green Chef makes it easy to spend less time shopping for groceries, and more time enjoying fall with their new Heat and Eat meals. Enjoy a delicious, wholesome meal in just 3 minutes. Perfect for supporting your wellness journey, Green Chef recipes feature fresh, organic, seasonal produce and 100% responsibly sourced proteins to help you feel your best.
Green Chef's real clean ingredients help you build lasting healthy habits without the hassle. Enjoy salads ready in 5 minutes, protein-filled breakfasts, or nutrient-rich smoothies to fuel your day. Green Chef is ready to nurture your nutritional needs. With 80-plus dietitian-approved weekly meal options, Green Chef makes it easy to find meals that fit your lifestyle. Pick from Mediterranean, gluten-free, plant-based, and protein-heavy, even gut and brain health and calorie-smart choices, too. The recipes change every week, and with week-to-week flexibility, you can adjust your plan to match your mood and your schedule.
One thing I love about Green Chef is it just, you get it in the mail. Here it is. It's exactly what you need. It's healthy. I think most fast foods, foods that are ready fast, mm-hmm. are like really not good for you. And no. This is one way to eat something that is ready fast, cozy up with your favorite book or magazine or sporting event or 18-inning Dodgers game. And just like chill and know that you're healthy and you're spending time just like relaxing and enjoying like the coziness of the season. Make this fall your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Head to greenchef.com/50hysteria and use code 50hysteria. That's 50hysteria to get 50% off your first month, then 20% off for 2 months with free shipping. That's code 50hysteria at greenchef.com/50hysteria. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who have made a commitment to have a one-in, one-out policy when it comes to men we listen to.
That's fair. I agree with that.
I saw news. I don't want to implicate anybody directly, but I saw like some splashy announcement that some more men are going to do a podcast. And it's like, you know what? I listen to a lot of podcasts that have men as hosts. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I do really appreciate the men that I listen to, the men that I have let into my life.
Yes.
But I'm set. I don't need—
We're good.
I'm good. I'm one in, one out from now on. Like,
also, the particular podcast you and I are talking about is like so low charisma that I can't imagine it.
You know what? If you're a man with access to a microphone, the first thing that you think to do with it shouldn't be like, I should be the one to talk into this. It's like, maybe you shouldn't. And also, like, one in, one out from now on. Like, the men that I listen to, I super appreciate their intelligence and their insight. But I don't have any more room.
Nope. I'm filled up. The inn is full.
I'm filled up. Okay. So, first, some announcements for the class. If you want to understand what Trump 3.0 could mean for the courts, check out the latest episode of Strict Scrutiny. Kate, Leah, and Melissa dig into the legal battles over ICE, the National Guard, and Kim Davis's unwelcome return to the spotlight. Oh, Kim Davis.
She's back.
She's been married 3 times, by the way.
That girl.
And preview the SCOTUS case that could expand Trump's presidential powers. Listen to Strict Scrutiny every Monday where you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube. Now let's get to Sani Petty. Alyssa?
Yeah.
Sani or Petty this week?
I'm Sani. I'm okay. A little Sani, but like a little serious maybe. So Hubs and I decided to go see a movie.
Okay.
And we had the nice reclining chairs. We're like, let's go see the new Bruce Springsteen movie, Deliver Me From Nowhere, because one, I had to see Jeremy Strong as John Landau. And okay. So I was aware of what the movie was, but the trailer is really Bruce in a concert, right? And mm-hmm. so you think it's going to be some sort of like music-y. It is incredibly dark. But I think that Bruce Springsteen is such like an American hero for making this movie, for participating in it, for wanting it to be made, because it shows Bruce, which I think like so many of us can relate to, that basically like Bruce was great when he was on stage, but after he was done touring and about to start writing the Nebraska album, he was all by himself in a house in New Jersey on a lake, and over the series of several months, he had a nervous breakdown. And when you look at someone now like Bruce Springsteen, and the publicity around the movie is, of course, like Jeremy Allen White and Jeremy Strong and all the people in the movie. But the interviews with Bruce have been about him talking about his mental health and how he saw a therapist and how he has seen a therapist for the last 60 years. And I just think in a world where we worry about the mental health of men and the role models that they have, that I thought that it was very, I thought that it was a very special movie. There's a scene in the movie when he goes to the therapist for the first time. And it got me so emotional. My husband's like, why are you sobbing? Like, yes, it's a sad movie, but particularly right now, why are you sobbing? And I was like, well, because a year ago I went to a doctor and I had felt as bad as I had ever felt. And he looked at me and he said, I can tell you this, you're never going to feel worse than you do today. And I promise you that. And he was right. And I never did. And there was something about that moment about Bruce, because the therapist basically was just like, after Bruce had held it in so long, he just started like sobbing. And Bruce says that Jeremy Allen White's portrayal of how he felt during that time was very accurate. So I thought that it was like a very different kind of music, because it wasn't a music movie. But mm-hmm. I just thought it was great. And I think that a lot of people should see it, especially the type of fan that Bruce has. They yeah. should all go.
They should all go. That's great advice. And that's very wholesome. You're back to wholesome, Alyssa.
Just today.
Yeah.
Just today. Wait till next week. But this one was wholesome. Yeah.
All right. I have a Sani, but it's a Sani for a totally different reason.
Okay.
This week, Jennifer Aniston made yes. it official that she is with Jim Curtis, who is like a non-celebrity. I think he's like a hypnotist or something, or a hypnotherapist.
Hypnotherapist.
He's a hypnotherapist, right? And they're Instagram official, and they seem super happy. And I am like Sani about this because I have to tell you, over the last 18 months, I've gotten so many texts from people that I know that are like, are Barack Obama and Jennifer Aniston
having an affair? Do you have any idea?
And they're all so many different walks of life. People, I'm like, where did this rumor come from? Why do people think this is true? Like, if this is like disinfo, it was like really masterfully seeded disinfo because it somehow
it's crazy.
It got into the like fibers of people. It got into the fibers of social groups that I'm like, I don't know how all these people would have heard this same story. And first of all, I don't know. I've never worked for Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Like, I've met him a few times just in my like career as a journalist.
Right.
But like, I don't know. And like, I work at a company run by people that like use that are closer to him than that. But like, I don't have access to that information. Like, no, I have.
He would never. But it was funny. But people were taking it.
It was pervasive.
So seriously. Really, like, big deal celebrities who I normally do not interact with at all were asking me questions. Entertainment reporters were asking me. Political reporters were asking me. And I was like, are you coming to me? Because you think I have a secret job scheduling their rendezvous? Like, why have you come to me? Like, what? Why are we here? And no, people, I heard about it for months. Mm-hmm. People, I think, you know, maybe people just like love it and it's funny and it's, I don't know.
Okay. First of all, no shade at all to Jennifer Aniston. I think she's
lovely.
Like a very like, and she's, I think she's a supporter of similar political causes that I'm a supporter of. I've seen her in person at a few events. And she's like one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in real life.
Gorgeous.
She's so beautiful. The other most beautiful woman I've ever seen in real life is Michelle Obama.
Absolutely.
And, like, it's just very, like, the whole, like, fanficification of Barack Obama's love life where it's, like, he had this beautiful wife who he's, like, crazy about and, like, a little afraid of. And, like,
totally.
And, like, and he's running to this other person. Like, it was just a very funny rumor to me. And I'm really glad that finally it's like, okay.
Glad we put it to rest.
We put it to rest.
She's with a hypnotherapist.
She's with a very handsome hypnotherapist.
Very handsome.
Really happy together.
Very rich.
And stuff. But I'm like, I kind of want to send this to all the different group chats or the group chats containing
be like, guys.
The people that ask me. That it's like, hey, guys.
She's good.
It's fine. It's fine. America's first family, the real first family, is still intact. And I wish everybody, all four of the people in this like fan fiction love square, I wish them all happiness in their respective couples. But I am feeling sane that I don't have to answer that question anymore because I didn't know. It was a ridiculous scenario to me in the first place. And now we know that it was fake. So thank you. Thank you, Jennifer Aniston, for your body of work and also for becoming Instagram official. And congratulations. All right. That is all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. Alyssa Mastromonaco, thank you for being my ride or die. Listeners, if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com is the email address that we all have access to, so don't get too personal there. And there will be more Hysteria for you, Hysteria Live from CrookedCon,
woo!
Next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Guy and Claudia Sheng. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. Kendra James is our executive producer of culture and entertainment. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.